Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about with the big question today, is Joe Biden really the president of the United States of America? Yes, he occupies the Oval Office. Yes, he carries the title as the president of the United States of America, but who's really making the decisions behind the scenes? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there is a big problem in the White House. And it's more than just having the fences around the Capitol complex in the White House. It is more than what is deemed to be that question of a possible insurrection from the American citizens. The problem is far greater than that, ladies and gentlemen, and they recognize that in the White House and in the Capitol complex. It's fully understood as to what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, the election was stolen. I know that's a politically incorrect thing to say. The election was the result of a coup that was designed to overthrow the Constitutional Republic and remove President Donald J. Trump from office, and they were successful in doing that. But Joe Biden did not win the election. The election was a stolen election, and it was stolen from Donald J. Trump. And Joe Biden today, ladies and gentlemen, is sitting in the office as a result of the socialist, Marxist, communist coup. Big tech, Wall Street, Hollywood, and the LGBTQ agenda, ladies and gentlemen, led by the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist party, put Joe Biden in office. And now we're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, the destruction of the foundations of America. Perhaps you ask the question, why am I concerned? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if our Bill of Rights are eviscerated, if our Bill of Rights are destroyed, we have no religious liberties and no freedom of speech. It'll destroy every Christian voice, every voice of the conservative patriots in America will be considered hate speech. Today, ladies and gentlemen, are you realizing that if you say the election was stolen and you're in a public position, that you're going to be shut down by big tech? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, today that those that are called domestic terrorists by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those in the Beltway in Washington and the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party calling it domestic terrorism, we are the domestic terrorists today, ladies and gentlemen. If we challenge the election, if we question Joe Biden's cognitive skills or his abilities, but ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? My Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, today in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place, and we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, else there will not be an opportunity in the future for us to be heard, be seen whatsoever. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the foreclosure of our Bill of Rights, the evisceration of the freedom of speech and the religious liberties that we've known for all of these years. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, Christians across America, I believe Christians have been praying. Maybe not to the degree that we'd like to see it, but I believe, ladies and gentlemen, God will remove Joe Biden from office. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is my most humble personal opinion, that Joe Biden will not be president by June of this year, perhaps a few days before or a few days or weeks after. But I'm setting that as an arbitrary, capricious target in my mind, that based on what we're seeing now and the compilation of all that is taking place and the addition of what shall take place, China's watching it, Russia's watching it, Iran is watching it, the global powers to be realize that they're dealing with an empty suit called Joe Biden. They realize that they can press the issues, ladies and gentlemen. They can press the envelope, as it's called politically speaking, because they realize we have an empty suit in the White House, in the Oval Office, and his name is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not cognizant. Joe Biden is not comprehending what's happened. Joe Biden, unfortunately, has a serious, serious mental disability that he cannot help himself. But as a result of it, ladies and gentlemen, America is suffering the potential of being overthrown by Iran or Russia or China, or all three moving in tandem to destroy the United States of America. We're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, some of the major tech companies being bombarded with aggressive attackers from China or Russia or both. We're watching today Iran flexing its muscle and basically demanding what Biden should do. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that is so sad, China owns Joe Biden and the Biden family, which I call the Biden cabal. China is in total control of what Joe Biden does at a distance, but they have their Chinese communist spies that I believe is in part and parcel controlling what is taking place with the executive orders being signed. And Russia today is challenging Joe Biden. Russia today and Iran's challenging Joe Biden at the decisions that he's making. I've said, ladies and gentlemen, since before the election, that Joe Biden is not qualified morally, ethically, politically, or cognitively to serve as the president of the United States of America. Nancy Pelosi and the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, along with Biden's handlers, will not allow Biden to have a press conference. Biden is not mentally, cognitively able, ladies and gentlemen, to respond to questions. Biden has not even given a presidential State of the Union address, the first time this has happened in recent history with any president. Have you noticed that? Usually the presidential address, the State of the Union address, as it is called, is given sometimes in February, even late, as late as early March. But it's not done, not been done, and it shall not be done. And ladies and gentlemen, Jen Psaki, the press secretary for Joe Biden, stumbles and bumbles her way through the press conferences. And today, whether you realize it or not, ladies and gentlemen, they've already started to enact a policy at the White House that will prevent the press from being in the White House. What they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is a genius approach, demonically genius, put it in that fashion. They're going to start requiring that every reporter that comes to the White House to ask questions has to be COVID tested, and they're going to charge the person, the company that that reporter works for, $170 per day for the test, the COVID test. They're doing that to dissuade any reporters from coming to the White House to ask Joe Biden or his handlers any questions. But ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden today is, I believe, the greatest threat to our Bill of Rights that we've ever seen in a president's office. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Joe Biden repeats his haunting threat against the Bill of Rights. In the shocking wave of authoritarianism unleashed during the current crisis only seems to have reinforced President Biden's constitutional amendments view. Speaking in an interview, Biden said no amendment is absolute, suggesting even something that is precious to us as the freedoms guaranteed under our Bill of Rights is not set in stone, as Joe Biden said. And he goes on to talk about that our rights to speak and worship freely, to defend ourselves with firearms, and even to have a trial by jury of our peers all hinge on the constitutional amendments that can be repealed by simply executive orders or without proper due process, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that comes to the very point of this broadcast today. This article says nearly one in three say that Biden will quit the presidency. Now, I don't think it'd be voluntarily quitting. I don't think it will be a mutual statement that Biden walks in and says, I'm quitting. I think it would be because of the movement behind the scenes with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others that are pulling the strings. Joe Biden is not cognitively responsible. Joe Biden is not in control of the White House. Joe Biden is not in control of the decisions that he makes and the executive orders that he's signing, but they're being done. This article further says there was much discussion during the 2020 presidential election campaign about Joe Biden's apparent cognitive decline. The concern has continued during the White House residency. This week, after stumbling over the names of Congress members, he interrupted himself with, "What am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here," end quote. New polls find 30% of likely voters believe that he will quit the White House and will not run for re-election. The Rasmussen report found 39% believe that the Democratic president is not setting the agenda in Washington. Rasmussen said that 23% say the national media is calling the shots. 15% think Congress is in charge, and only 9% believe that the Republican opposition is setting the agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, with all of that being said, here's the problem. With all of that being stated, and I believe that to be absolutely factual, we're watching the demise, the implosion, the disbanding of the Joe Biden presidency. We're watching that on the fast track. It is being sequestered from the public, and most of you that are listening today, you've not heard these things. You've not seen it, heard it on any of the drive-by Socialist Marxist Communist Network news, but it's factual, and it's real, and it can be very detrimental to our Bill of Rights. It's detrimental to the foundation of the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that what is taking place today is as a result of Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, along with the Biden handlers, that's not going to allow him to do anything. They're pulling the strings. They're making the decisions. And this is the first time, ladies and gentlemen, we've ever seen this in the history of the United States of America. So why would God remove Biden from office? Why would God remove Joe Biden? Of course, he's the puppet, but why would God remove him from office? Why would God take Joe Biden out of the picture as the president? One of two things are possible. Number one, the possibility is that it is as a result of God's judging America. And if Joe Biden is removed, then the one, Kamala Harris, that is the vice president, which is not qualified to be president, will be moved in as the de facto president of the United States of America. And then Nancy Pelosi, through the Communist Party, called the Communist BLM Socialist Marxist Party, Nancy Pelosi will have the authority in the House to appoint a vice president to serve with the non-elected then, from the standpoint of presidency, Kamala Harris, that will be the president of the United States of America. I don't know about you, but that should be frightening to think about. Bad enough for Joe Biden, which is cognitively disabled. It's bad enough to think about what he is doing because of what his handlers are doing. But I don't know if you've noticed, every time Joe Biden is present, every time he's speaking, every time he's seated at the desk, Nancy Pelosi is standing as a sentinel behind him, watching and listening. And it's Kamala Harris that is making the determination. Kamala Harris standing watching as a sentinel, and Kamala Harris making the determination on the direction the ship is going to be rowing in the next day. It is Kamala Harris today, along with Nancy Pelosi, giving directions as to who's running the United States of America. But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, and it's two or three things we want to wrap up in this broadcast on, that Joe Biden is doing that I believe God is adamantly opposed to, and that the United States Constitution and our Bill of Rights would be destroyed as a result of what Joe Biden is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 5, H.R. 5, House Resolution 5, you've heard me say before, and it's the top of the agenda for me to talk about today in relationship to Joe Biden and his shell of a man and what he is doing. But House Bill 5, called the Equality Act, ladies and gentlemen, is on the fast track. It's already been passed in the House, and it's in the Senate to be voted on. And as soon as they put aside and complete this with the stimulus bill, when that is finished and completed in the Senate, they're going to fast track, ladies and gentlemen, H.R. 1 and H.R. 5 and several other things. H.R. 1 is the total renovation of, the total change of, our election laws in America that will guarantee the Socialist, Marxist, Democrat, Communist Party will be forever in charge of the United States of American government and our nation. H.R. 5 is the one that is the Equality Act that is the most egregious from the standpoint of destroying the morals, ethics, and the values of churches and Christians and patriots and conservatives in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, just as God removed Belshazzar, because he took the holy vessels out of the temple that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple. Belshazzar used them to basically spit in the face of God, to basically shake his fist at God's face, to basically say that I am in more control than God. I'm going to use the vessels that are for holy high services in the house of God. I'm going to use those for this drunken, immoral party that he was having. Ladies and gentlemen, he took the holy vessels out of the temple and used them in that drunken bash, literally laughing at God, shaking his fist at God. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the Equality Act is doing the very same thing. I believe the Equality Act is on the fast track, and it's doing the same thing that Belshazzar did. It is laughing at God, mocking at God, shaking the fist at God. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says, think the Equality Act will spare churches and religious schools? Think again. But if the Equality Act passes, with President Biden has promised to push in the first 100 days of his administration, not even churches or religious schools will be safe at all from the government reach. The deceptively named Equality Act will add sexual orientation and gender identity, known as the SOGI laws, as protected classes of to existing laws, banning discrimination in places of public accommodation, employment, housing, etc., etc., etc. But ladies and gentlemen, it goes far greater than that. It is far deeper than just housing and so forth and so on. It, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely will put it into position that every human being in America will be faced with the fact that women and girls will not be safe in bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms, the sports field, anything that is done that has girls in it. Ladies and gentlemen, the sodomites, the pedophiles, the perverts, those that want to be feminine, want to be what they are not that God created, will be in a position that they can have access to the females, the girls, and the ladies, and the young ladies across America. I believe we have Bob on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. I think this thing won't pass. Here's my reason behind that. They're going against God, and God always wins in his in this circumstance. The other thing is like it says in the Bible, two or more agree. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's praying about this. My wife and I are not the only one praying about this. I believe that the Lord will somehow, some way, work this out where this does not pass, because you can't beat God. This is all there is to that.
Brother, you're exactly right, and yet let me give you a bifurcation of that statement and the potentiality. Let's just do some hypotheticals. What if the divine intervention of God in 2016, putting President Donald J. Trump in office, was God's divine intervention giving us a four-year reprieve, that we would turn back to God, that we would honor God, that we would bless God, that we would do what God has created man for, and that is to honor him and to worship him, to serve him and him only. But we failed to do that. We failed to recognize that it was God's divine intervention, and it was that little threshold, that little small microcosm of what could take place in America if we would allow someone to be on the throne, if you will, someone in the Oval Office that would make decisions, not because he was a highly spiritual person, but because he was God's man for God's hour to bring that about. What if God will then use Joe Biden and the implementation of the H.R. 1 and the H.R. 5 and the removal of guns in America? Those are the three things that will destroy, that will eviscerate the foundation of America. What if God will use that to get America's attention, that would cause us to basically plead with God, intercede before God, come before God, confess our sins, and turn from our wicked ways and seek the face of God, that God can heal our land? What if he's doing that basically to chasten America, that America would truly turn back to God? That's my question. What are your thoughts on that?
I'll tell you, you're possibly right on that. I'm not going to argue with that, because that is a possibility. He does chasten his people.
Absolutely. So all we can do, Bob, is simply keep praying. But while we're praying, we ought to also be busy, actively participating in being salt and light in the society in which we're living in. I challenge, and I'm thankful, Bob, for your call. Thankful for your input. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm challenging you today, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, to get on the telephone and call the Senate and call the Senate's office. The main number, the switchboard number, is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3131. That's the telephone number for the Senate office. You need to call and request to talk. You'll not be able to talk with the senator. That's an impossibility. Generally speaking, we like them. We send them there, but they're above a lowly telephone call with a human being that voted for them and put them in office. But we need to call the senators, ladies and gentlemen, and demand, do it quietly, do it calmly, but demand that they say no on H.R. 1, that they say no on H.R. 2, that they say no on all these gun confiscation bills. That's what we need to do. We need to be the sentinel on the wall, the watchman on the wall. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, the Equality Act is the greatest threat to religious freedom in our lifetime, and we must stand against it. Religious liberties in America are slowly eroding for years, and now it faces the greatest threat of all of our generations. The so-called Equality Act threatens the First Amendment and the freedom of religion on a scale that we have not seen in the history of America. It forces churches and synagogues and other religious organizations like Christian colleges and universities to recognize gender identity, sexual orientation as legally protected classification, despite how those lifestyles might conflict with the deeply held religious beliefs and conscience of American Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Joe Biden, asking the question, is Joe Biden really the president? The answer is no. He's simply the shell. He's simply not cognitively able to carry it out. But behind the scene, we have the puppeteers that's pulling the strings, making the decisions, giving the suggestions, giving the words, giving the teleprompter written speeches so that whatever few words he says is from the teleprompter. He steps away from the teleprompter, and he's not able to put two sentences together and have a thought out of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about H.R. 5, the Equality Act. Ladies and gentlemen, all of the this that would do, it will take place is the sexual dysphoric LGBTQ community will be in total control. They'll be able to enter into girls' and women's locker rooms, dressing rooms, shower rooms, bathrooms, changing rooms, in all stores and places of business. Churches and religious colleges and universities will be forced to hire sodomites or lose their accreditation. Pastors and churches would be prosecuted and persecuted by the hand of the federal law if they preach or print or publish or distribute anything that's to mean hate speech about the LGBTQ community. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a good example. Perhaps you have seen the show on television, Say Yes to the Dress. Well, here's an article about that. Bridal shop owner is under fire for telling bride that female sales clerk was really a guy. There's a disturbing story about the Equality Act from our friends at Liberty Counsel. A young bride-to-be named Ann recently went to a bridal shop near Washington, D.C. If you've watched the television show Say Yes to the Dress, you know it's quite a family affair. The salesperson followed the bride into the dressing room to help her try on her wedding dress. The salesperson was wearing a COVID mask, a dress, and tights and high-heeled shoes. The salesperson proceeded to help Ann in the dressing room, touching private areas of her body while helping her out in her wedding dress. Then Ann's sister and mother pulled her aside and notified her that the salesperson was really a man dressed as a woman. It's a transgender sales clerk, they said. The bride was horrified. She had never undressed in front of any man before. She felt violated and deceived and fled the store with her mother and her sister in tow. Later that day, the groom-to-be paid the store owner a visit. She defended her transgender employee and said that she was required by law to treat that man as if he were a woman, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a travesty of what is taking place under the guise of the leadership of Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is not making the decisions. Joe Biden is not in control. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel says it will allow biological men to have access to women's sports and bathrooms and locker rooms and dressing rooms and showers and shelters. Pastors could be forced to officiate same-sex ceremonies, and churches would have to offer the use of their buildings to LGBTQ groups. Churches and religious schools would be forced to hire staff involved in the LGBTQ conduct, even to visible positions of authority, and give them complete access to children and the children's restrooms, dressing rooms, and shower rooms. And ladies and gentlemen, if the churches were to send their students on a field trip or overnight sports event, mission trips, then the leaders for that could not be denied, would not be allowed to just be the single sex, male or female. They would have to be the transgender, according to this report by Matt Staver. And I could go on and on and on. But ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't just stop with H.R. 5, which is the sodomite agenda. It's the Equality Act, as it is called. But, ladies and gentlemen, in that bill, it would go even farther than we can possibly imagine. But, ladies and gentlemen, H.R. 1 is the bill that we need to be concerned about. It's on the fast track now. It is being pushed through the House and shall go through. And if it gets to the Senate, it will pass the Senate. It's the House Democrats pass H.R. 1 election reform bill is on a tight vote schedule, this article says. The House of Representatives in the late hours of March the 3rd did pass a sweeping election reform bill that, if signed into law, will affect multiple aspects of the electoral process and campaign financing. Ladies and gentlemen, to put it very, very bluntly and very quickly reviewed, it will put the election laws under the domination of the federal government for all states and all elections. It will allow votes to be made by anybody that comes into the nation via the new laws that's being traversed by Joe Biden and allowing the borders on the southern states to be rushed by illegals. It will allow the illegals to vote. It will allow criminals to vote. It will allow you to vote by mail. It will allow you to register to vote and vote at the same time. It will allow the voting system to be carried out with the election being over a 45-day period of time and not just in a one-day's time. Ladies and gentlemen, it will destroy the potential of ever, listen to me, it will destroy the potential of ever, ever having a conservative being elected into office for the entire future of the United States of America. This article says, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats passing the H.R. 1 will reform the election laws forever and will prevent any conservative from ever being able to go into office. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. When Jerry Nadler, as a House of Representatives, makes the dogmatic, in-your-face, spitting-in-God's-face statement, God's will is of no concern of this Congress, end quote. I've used that as the point of demarcation, ladies and gentlemen. I've used that as the position, taking the position that when a congressman says publicly that God's will has no place in the halls of Congress, we're saying then, God, we've just closed the doors. We've just shut the door. God, you're no longer allowed. God, we're not interested in what you want. God, we're not concerned about what you're doing. God, we're not going to allow you to have a voice in the hearts and the lives of the ones that makes the decisions. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that points out the problem that we had in the previous election, but it's not been recognized by the U.S. Supreme Court, not been recognized by most judges. But here's one judge, ladies and gentlemen, that's in Mississippi that's taking the stand that judges across America should have taken 90 days ago. Judge orders a new election after 78% of the mail-in ballots were found invalid. A Mississippi judge ordered a new runoff election for a local election in Aberdeen, Mississippi, after more than three-quarters of the absentee ballots cast in June Democratic runoff election were found to be invalid while a notary involved in the election was arrested. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a 64-page order, and the judge ruled that 66 of the 84 ballots, absentee ballots that were cast in the election, 78% of them should have never been counted. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a re-election just on a local level like that, it is a good illustration of what is taking place and what happened on a national level. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be concerned, and as Christians, we need to bombard the telephones of the U.S. Senate. We need to call them. That number is 202-224-3121. We need to say vote no on H.R. 1, vote no on H.R. 5, and to vote no on any of the gun confiscation bills. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen. Have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.